I don't know when I got this message, but I wrote it out. Then, as the days come about, I see how it's a pretty important message. I hope you think it is too. The name of the message: are Jewish people who believe in Jesus still Jewish? And it's not I didn't get that out of my head. I got it from a Messianic Jewish group. Let's all stand. Matthew 13:30 is our verse. I'll read it and I'll put in the explanation where it says, let both, that's the wheat and the tares, grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I, that's the Lord God of Israel, will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. Dispensationalism is wrong. The wheat is not gathered first. And bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat unto my barn. You may be seated. Who are the wheat and who are the tares? The parable says that both the wheat and the tares have different fathers with the same mother. They are two different seed lines, and they have a drastic different destiny. So the identification of the wheat and tares is especially important in the theological interpretation of these verses of the parable. But the Messianic website, www.thejewishroad.com, says nothing about this parable in their article, and their article is the title of my sermon, Are the Jewish People Who Believe in Jesus Still Jewish? They don't mention this lesson at all. They assume that all people are equal in the eyes of God in our times. The purpose of this sermon is to dissect what this article presents and to investigate whether any Jews can be saved. It will also examine doctrines that many so-called quote-unquote Christians now believe and show where they cause contradiction in what the Bible says. Well, after I wrote the article, I did some investigation of the www.jewishroad. Does anybody know anything about these people? I was shocked to find this out. You'll find out what I mean. The Jewish Road organization is based less than 1 hour from our church. It is in Georgetown, Kentucky, which is 58 miles south on I-75, 13 miles north of Lexington. This Jewish organization is open to going to different churches, speaking to them and holding different events with them, like Passover. There is a place on their website where one can book either the father, his name is Ray Davis, or the son, Matt Davis, to come and preach at their church. On their website, they have this article with the title, Have a Jewish Theologian in Your Corner. And here's what it says. Now, I might have a comment in the brackets. Quote, partnering with the Jewish Road opens the gateway to a world of profound insights and meaningful connections. Their first point, gain a deeper understanding of the Jewish context of biblical passages. The next one, engage your congregation with sermons enriched by ancient Jewish wisdom. Next one. Discover the significance of Jewish feasts and their relevance to the Christian faith. Next one. Stay informed about the historical and cultural landscape of Israel. I put Israel I. Next, receive expert guidance on all matters related to the Jewish roots of Christianity. Well, there is no Jewish roots of Christianity. Equip yourself with the knowledge to enhance your ministry and deepen your congregation's spiritual journey. Reach out to your go-to Jews and take the next step towards a more profound understanding of your faith. Well, that was quite a statement. So this Jewish organization offers, if you let them, to go into your church's pulpit, and as a result, your church will receive a deeper understanding of the Jewish context of biblical passages. They add that your sermons will be enriched by ancient Jewish wisdom. Would this be true? I believe it would be false. For no Jewish interpretation of the scriptures would give the church a deeper understanding, and there's no such thing as ancient Jewish wisdom. Here's an interesting thought. But do the Jewish synagogues invite any Christian pastors and speakers into their synagogues to impact any of their Christian wisdom? No, it just goes one way. They're like Democrats. It's just all one way. Well, here's one of the Jewish Road articles. One of the many articles that appears on their website is repended below with comments about each section. It begins by saying, so I've copied the whole article, and I'm going to make comments ever so often. So it starts off, quote, so you jump the train. I was talking with a Russian Jew from New York the other day. It was a great conversation. When he found out that I was both Jewish and have a relationship with Jesus, he assumed I jumped the train. But have I? What he's really saying is that I jumped off the Jewish train and am now running aboard the Christian Express. But is that accurate? Have I given up my heritage, my Jewishness? Over the years, I've heard some versions of this question. And unfortunately, every one of them is wrong. It comes in many forms. So you're a Christian now? So you're no longer Jewish? When did you convert? The assumption is always that when a Jew believes in Jesus, they are no longer Jewish. But this simply isn't the case. Faith in Jesus doesn't make anyone less Jewish. In fact, for many of us, our faith in Jesus has actually made us more Jewish. But this misunderstanding on both sides is what has kept Christians from intentionally reaching out to Jewish people, and what has kept Jews from understanding that Jesus is for them. It's why most Jews won't set foot in a Christian church building. The offer on the table for the Jewish people is that if you want to come to Jesus, that's the Jewish Messiah, you essentially have to switch teams, put on a new jersey, and go to the other clubhouse, unquote. Well, that's pretty much in there. I had to stop it before it went any further. I say, remember, a Messianic Jew wrote this article. He gives a hypothetical situation which is never true. In my opinion, a Jew can never become a true Christian, only a Judeo-Christian. Anyone can become a Judeo-Christian. But to become an authentic Christian, one must be born with the correct bloodline. He must be a descendant of the Abrahamic covenant, not a multiracial blend of everyone's mixed seed bloodline like all Jews. A person must be born in the correct racial family to be a true Christian. This is one reason why miscegenation is so wrong and is considered as a major sin. Deuteronomy 20, verse 16, 18 says, but of the city of these people, which were the nations of the Canaanites, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. But thou shalt utterly destroy them. That's the nation of the Canaanites. Namely, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their, that's the nation of the Canaanites, abominations, have done unto their Canaanites' gods, so should you sin against the Lord YHWH. These verses drive Judeo-Christians crazy, for they have no way to interpret it to match their belief system. They don't know how to correctly answer this question. Why did the Lord God tell his covenant people to destroy the Canaanite nations who occupied the promised land? They were to kill every elderly man and woman, mature man and woman, boys and girls, newborns, and babies in the womb. No one was to escape. It was a genocide of all the Canaanite nations that were occupying the promised land. Ask a Judeo-Christian and hear their answer. Why were there no missionaries sent first? Because the Canaanite nations were a different seed line than Israel, and they had a different destiny. They were all going to hell. No Canaanite Jew was a sheep of God. Missionaries would be useless. Jesus said to the descendants of the Canaanites, Amorites, John 10:26, but ye, referring to Edomite Jews, verse 24, believe not, because ye, the Edomite Jews, are not of my sheep. And I, Jesus Christ, say unto you, Edomite Jews. Jesus said the Edomite Jews were not of his sheep. And he gives eternal life to his sheep, John 10:28. Now, if the Jews are not his sheep, and his sheep are given eternal life, do the Jews have personal salvation? Who do you think took up stones again to stone him right after these words were spoken? It was the Edomite Jews, John 10:30. The website says that a Jew who becomes a so-called Christian is still a Jew. Why wouldn't they be? There are Jews who are Buddhist. More than 30% of non-Asian Buddhists are Jews. In fact, the Prime Minister was Buddhist. Atheists, agnostics, Hindus, any other religion, they are still Jews. There are Orthodox Jews, conservative Jews, Reformed Jews as well, and they're all still Jews. Well, back to the Messianic website. Quote, go back to the conversation God with Abraham in Genesis 12. Genesis 12 again. They keep using it. He said to Abraham, here it quotes, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Unquote. This promise, known as the Abrahamic covenant, is repeated multiple times throughout Scripture. It is an everlasting and unconditional covenant God made with Abraham and his descendants. In other words, God is saying to Abraham, you are my people and I am your God. Then he says, this relationship between God and the Jewish people has never been dependent on our faithfulness or lack thereof. It's an everlasting covenant. God has always been on track with his people, even when they have seemed to jump the rails, unquote. Well, I had to make a comment about that little portion of what they said. Genesis chapter 12 is not the direct promise of the Abrahamic covenant. Did you notice the pronouns you and your in Genesis chapter 12? The direct promises of the Abrahamic covenant do not occur until several chapters later. And when the Abrahamic covenant is made, it was not made with the Esau or the Jews, but was made with Jacob, Israel. Abraham had 8 sons. Which one of the 8 was the recipient of the covenant made with Abraham? Number 1. One of his sons, Ishmael, was the origin of the Muslim Arabs. His mother was Hagar, and he was born about 13 years before Isaac. Abram loved Ishmael. Number 2. 6 of his sons, born after the death of Sarah, his wife, became the Brahmins of India, and one of their descendants is Kamala Harris, candidate for the President of the United States. Both of her parents were descendants of Abraham and Keturah, with a mixed seed of Indians from India, along with her father, who was Irish, mixed with Brahmins and his ancestries. Another Brahmin is the wife of former President Trump's vice presidential candidate, J.D. Vance. 3. That leaves the one son he had with Sarah, Isaac. Isaac was the only son of Abraham that was anointed, not the other 7. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Now to Abraham and his seed, Isaac, were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, all 8 of his sons, as of many, 8, but as of 1, and to thy seed, Isaac, which is anointed." Then Isaac had 2 sons. Which one would carry on the covenantal blessings? The Messianic website misidentifies the wrong twin, Jacob as being the descendants of the Jews. The Sephardic Jews are descendants of the elder twin, Esau. Esau was the oldest, so he was the recipient of the covenant in the beginning, but he despised his birthright by racially intermarrying. So Esau was rejected by God from being the recipient of the covenant, and his younger twin became the heir of the covenant. As a result, Esau planned to assassinate Jacob. Jacob was Abraham's grandson who inherited the covenant from his father Isaac after his older twin brother was disqualified. So God calls himself the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He never says that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Well, back to the Messianic website. Quote, "Something interesting happens to the Israelites in their wilderness journey. Because of their lack of faith and refusal to trust God to help them defeat the giants in the Promised Land, God rerouted them, and the generation that came out of Egypt ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years. But even then, God was still faithful to his covenant with Abraham and his people." Now get what he says next. Fast forward to Jesus showing up on the scene some 1,400 years later. The promised Messiah came to offer the kingdom of God to his people. But what did the Jewish people do? The religious leaders of that day led the nation in rejection of their Messiah. Because of unbelief, the offer of the kingdom was rescinded from that Jewish generation. It will be offered to another Jewish generation, those recognizing the Messiah and proclaiming, "Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord," Matthew 23:39. That is because, as mentioned above, God made an unconditional covenant with Abraham and his descendants, Israel, then I added, which he means the Jews. They, the Jews, were and still are his covenant people, unquote. I'd make comment. The Messianic website makes some very unscriptural comments. For it says that when Christ came to offer the kingdom to his people, meaning the Jews, the Jewish leaders rejected his offer. It was then offered by God to another Jewish generation, He then uses one verse, Matthew 23:39, to prove his case. I use parentheses. The first time the word Jew is used in the King James Version of the Bible is in 2 Kings 16:6, where Israel is fighting against the Jews. The word Jew is misinterpreted. The word Jew is misinterpreted. The word Jew is misinterpreted and should have been Judean. One must determine from the context whether it was an Israelite Judean or an Edomite Judean. And that took me about 25 years to figure out. But what was the context of this verse? In Matthew 23, Jesus addressed the Jewish scribes and Pharisees, calling them hypocrites. He also described them as being serpents, a generation of vipers, and then asked the question, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Matthew 23:33. Why did he use that language to describe them? Jesus then charged these Edomite Jews with one recent and one ancient murder. Matthew 23:35. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Who were the descendants of Cain? Cain murdered Abel. Who were the descendants of Seth? The offspring of Seth could not be charged with the murder of a man who was slain before Seth was born. Jesus was not talking to the Negroes, Orientals, or anyone else, for they were not the descendants of Cain either. Matthew 27:25, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. His blood be on us and our children. Who declared this? That the blood of Jesus would be on them and their children. What did this mean for centuries? Christian took this phrase for centuries to indicate that the Jewish people as a whole and for perpetuity bore direct responsibility for the crucifixion and therefore fair game for persecution and extermination. Were they wrong? Or are today's Christians who make Jews and Christians equal correct? According to the publication, the American Israelite Cooperative Enterprise on Ancient Jewish History, the Edomites, quote, the Edomites, descendants of Esau, were later forcibly converted into Hebraism by John Hyrcanus and then became an active part of the Jewish people. Famous Edomites include Haran, who built the Second Temple, unquote. Well, back to the Messianic website. Quote, God has kept his covenant with Abraham and with the Jewish people. However, the gospel message of salvation has now been commissioned to all who follow and put their trust in the Messiah Jesus in this present age. Did you get that? Now commissioned to all. God still has his covenant people, Israel, and at this time, God not only has his covenant people, but he also has a commission people, Jewish and Gentile believers, who make up the body of the Messiah, the church, and are committed to bringing the message of salvation to the world. It's Judeo-Christianity. And one day, he will fulfill his promise to restore the kingdom to that Jewish generation that believes and recognizes the messiahship of Jesus at his second coming. This is a crucially important distinction. The Apostle Paul makes this clear in Romans 11, verses 1 to 2, when he says, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself, an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, God has not rejected his people who he foreknew. God is not done with his people. God has not replaced the Jewish people. Rather, in this age, God has a commissioned people, Jew and Gentile, one in the Messiah, as well as his covenant people, Israel. He's just waiting for them to pick up their end of the line so he can talk to them, unquote. This Jewish Messianic website erroneously said that God made the Abrahamic covenant with the Jewish people. But they left out the part that their leader, Esau, quote, unquote, despised the covenant, and interracially married with the evil Canaanites. The Canaanites had interracially married with the Kenites. Then who interracially married with this combination of Edomites, Canaanites, and Kenites? There's a whole host of different races that have mixed their seed with this poisonous seed of Cain, Canaanites, and Edomites. In 700 AD, it was the Ashkenazi Jews. They did not convert to Judaism en masse until the 700 AD, 700 years after the death of Jesus. They make up over 90% of all Jewish people in the world today. But many have intermarried with the Edomites, Canaanites, and Kenites. But most are of the Turkish seed line, not a descendant of Abraham. Most Judeo-Christians are not aware that there are several distinct kinds of Jews. They're Ashkenazi Jews. They're Sephardic Jews. They're Hasidic Jews. There's Mizraim Jews. Ethiopian. I got it down twice, don't I? Abadababda's Jews. I don't know who they are, the black Jews. These different groups are many times at each other's throats, but they are all united against true Christianity and its Savior, priest, and king. The Jews are not the ancestors that descended from a pure line from Shem. Most have no ties with Shem at all. Therefore, it's wrong to call anything bad said about the Jews as being, quote-unquote, anti-Semitic. They are not Semitic. The Arabs are more Semitic than the Jews are. Well, back to the website. Quote, back to the train illustration. The Jewish people were not derailed, but simply put on a different track. God has never forgotten his covenant with Abraham or his people. And one day, he will make good on his promise to give the kingdom back to the Jewish people. As we have made abundantly clear on many podcast episodes, the early church was initially entirely Jewish. That's what the book that the preacher gave me. That's what it said. It was only after the kingdom was rescinded from that generation due to unbelief that we eventually see the gospel extending to the Gentiles. But even then, God did not break his covenant with Abraham or the Jewish people. The Gentiles, when they become followers of Jesus, are grafted into the olive tree that is Israel, Romans 11. In fact, the question the early Jewish church was asking, what do we do with these Gentiles who are now coming to faith in our Messiah? Questions about circumcision or whether or not these Gentiles should now become Jews were hotly debated. So 2,000 years later, the situation has reversed. We see Gentiles in the church who meet me, a Jew, completely surprised that I not only follow Jesus, but that I'm still Jewish. It's a masterpiece, isn't it? So if we're going to reach out to the Jewish people, we have to share the gospel in such a way that acknowledges their covenant with God. We have to start the fact that they are still his chosen people. Not because of anything they have done, but because of God's faithfulness to his covenant. And we need to be carefully not to communicate either intentionally or unintentionally that in order for them to follow Jesus, they need to stop being Jewish, unquote. Well, I had to make a little comment about this section. This messianic website just tells of one of the main lies that the Jews tell over and over. They say that they are the chosen people. Therefore, God will make good on his promise that he will give the kingdom back to the Jewish people. The truth is that the kingdom was never given to the Jewish people, which means that it can never be given back to them because it was never given to them in the first place. The Jews usurped the power in Palestine and took over control of the nation like they are doing now in America. Like they are doing now in America. Look at this quote from another website. This is from a British Israel church. Are all Israelites Jews, United Church of God? Quote, most people assume the Jewish people are the sole remaining descendants of ancient nation of Israel. This assumption, however, is incorrect. Technically, the Jews claim that they are descendants of two of the Israelite tribes, Judah and Benjamin, plus a considerable part of the third, the priestly tribe of Levi. Unknown to most, 10 other tribes in ancient Israel were never called Jews. The northern coalition of tribes, the kingdom or house of Israel, had already become an independent nation, separated from the house of Judah, by the time the word Jew first appears in the biblical narrative. In fact, the first time the term appears in the King James Version of the Bible, Israel was at war with the Jews, 2 Kings 16, 5-6, unquote. The Jews have never been the people of the Abrahamic covenant. If what the Jews claim is true, then God only made a covenant with 3/13 of Israel. But all 13 tribes are the people of the Abrahamic covenant. It is impossible for Edomite Jews to call themselves by the name of descendants of their twin brother Israelites. Jacob remained racially pure while his brother Esau took alien wives. The descendants of Esau eventually gained entrance into Judea when they were captured and given the ultimatum to either leave, be murdered, or submit to Hebraism. They submitted, not really because it was an impossibility, but eventually gained control over Israel. The comment that the early church was initially entirely Jewish is incorrect. The exact opposite was true. If any Jew was found in the early church, I don't know why they want to be in this new institution instead of their satanic synagogue, they were quickly removed. The Jews' view on Jesus the Messiah was that he blasphemed God and was now being punished in hell. And there is the part where it says that the Gentiles, the non-Jews, were grafted into the olive tree, that is Israel. It is absolutely impossible to grant a branch of a fig tree into an olive tree. It must be the same kind of tree. Back to the Messianic website. Quote, some may say that the best way to do this is to contextualize the gospel so that it makes sense for the Jewish people. While this is a great step in the right direction, it's lacking. What is needed in reaching out to the Jewish people is not a contextualized gospel, but a restored gospel. What's the difference? A contextualized gospel has been modified to fit the current culture. A restored gospel, on the other hand, is returned to the original message and intent of the gospel. The good news is that we don't have to guess what this looks like because we have a perfect example in Jesus himself. When he came on the scene, he didn't contextualize the gospel for his generation. He didn't have to. He proclaimed to them within the context of the Hebrew scriptures, the law and the prophets, his messiahship. Paul came along and contextualized it for the Gentiles. We don't need to contextualize a contextualized gospel for the Jews. We only need to restore the good news that Jesus declared to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, the house of Israel was never called Jews. And in doing so, he fulfilled all the Jewish people had been waiting for. Jesus is the ultimate expression of what it means to be Jewish. Jesus is the ultimate expression of what it means to be Jewish. Gentiles do not need to become Jews. But if you are Jewish, to follow him is to fulfill the intention of being Jewish. It is to return not to a modified gospel, but to the original message and intent of the gospel. And that is good news for both Jew and Gentile alike, unquote. The Messianic website does not know, or they have kept hidden, what Jesus taught the Edomite Jews, his genetic enemy. It was not good news. Matthew 23, for example, Jesus put a tirade against the Jewish scribes and Pharisees. He announced many woes against them. He called them hypocrites, blind guides. Their insides are full of extortion and excess. They are serpents, a generation of vipers, guilty of the murder of Abel, and that God's house is left to them desolate, etc. And what was the gospel that Jesus declared to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? The house of Israel were never called Jews, either rightly or wrongly. The website doesn't tell you that they were Israelites who had been divorced for over 700 years. They were nowhere near Palestine when Jesus was born and lived there. They were at one time married to God and then were divorced. Over 99% of the Israelites did not live in Palestine when Jesus was born, held his ministry, was crucified, dead, and rose from the dead, and was ascended to sit in the right hand of God the Father. Jesus died and was resurrected so he could remarry them. That was the only way that he could achieve this according to God's law. The website was silent on this explanation. It could not be good news for both Jews and Gentiles, as they are enemies of each other. The Jews are imposters, have been kicked out of almost every European nation for over 100 different times. One of these two different seed lines will be cast in the fire of the pit, while the other will be in his eternal kingdom. Back to the Messianic website. Quote, have I switched teams and jumped the train? No, I am still very much Jewish. My mother and father and grandparents were all Jewish, going back to my great-great-grandfather, Shalom Katervich, who was a chief rabbi in Eastern Europe. I grew up in a Messianic family where we celebrate Shabbat in the Jewish holidays. We still celebrate Shabbat on Fridays. As I write here, our third child is in lesson with her Israelite Hebrew teacher, studying for her upcoming bar mitzvah next year. And if that doesn't cinch the deal, my oldest kid's favorite breakfast item is the bagel with a smear from Noah's New York Bagels. I mean, what could be more Jewish than all that? We believe in Jesus, Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, unquote. His great-great-grandfather was chief rabbi in Eastern Europe. Do you believe that this rabbi read the Jewish holy book, the Talmud? The Talmud says that Jesus was not the Messiah. It says that he is now in hell because he blasphemed God and the Jewish people. He is boiling in a hot cauldron with filthy elements. The Talmud also tells the Jews can rob, steal, murder, and rape Christians. Christians, the Talmud teaches, are going to hell. How does this jive with what this website is saying? Back to the Messianic website. Quote, so are Jews who follow Jesus still Jewish? Absolutely. In fact, they are the fulfillment of what it means to be Jewish. We are living out the ultimate intention of the Jewish gospel, and that is something we can all celebrate. Aren't all Jews saved? We can see Paul's heart, and I believe he reflected God's heart. The Jewish people need the message of the gospel just like all people. The gospel, according to Paul, was to go to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, Romans 1:16. I believe that Gentiles within the church should play a major role in helping Jewish people make sense of Jesus, and that's what the Judeo-Christian Church is doing. There are, however, many who believe that Jewish people have their own covenant with God, and they do. They have the Abrahamic covenant and Moses, and that's enough. Therefore, many believe the Jewish evangelism is not a priority. This is not what I see in the Bible. A new covenant was made with Israel, Jeremiah 31:31, and the scriptures make it abundantly clear that Jewish people need to be brought to the knowledge of the truth of that covenant about their Messiah and saved from the consequences. New covenant was made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, unquote. But the house of Israel was never called Jewish. Quote, what is the Jewish gospel? The gospel was preached first, but never to the Jews, but to the Judeans, and then also not to what they call the Gentiles, the non-Jews, but to the nations of the divorced and separated majority tribes of Israel. Israel and Jews are not synonymous terms. They are the opposites. They are perpetual fatal enemies. If Jews can go into Christian churches, how many non-Jews or Israelites are permitted to go into the synagogues of Satan? Anybody here been into a synagogue? The website ends with who the new covenant was made with. But it's not with the Jews and Gentiles, the definition of what he says that they mean, but with the two separate kingdoms of Israel, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. But the house of Israel was never referred to as being Jews. So the new covenant is made with the house of Judah and the house of Israel, the United Kingdom of Israel. My conclusion, who are the chosen people of the Abrahamic covenant? One, the Jews, or two, the Israelites? To whom was the gospel preached by Jesus and his apostles? Number one, to the Jews, or two, number two, the Israelites? To whom will the kingdom be given? One, the Jews, or two, the Israelites? Who was the new covenant testament made with? One, the Jews and the Gentiles, or two, the two houses of the Israelites? Zionist Christendom is a devilish counterfeit designed to first deceive and second to enslave the minds and hearts of the evangelical Christians of America. It has turned evangelical pastors and Christians away from Christ's Abrahamic covenant, to the point where most evangelicals know almost nothing of who the true recipients of this everlasting covenant are. They believe salvation is for everyone who lives on the earth. It has been changed from the Old Testament, where it was exclusively for the Israelites, not the Jews, their eternal enemy. It has opened the floodgates of moral debauchery into America's entertainment industries, political system, and our public schools. It has opened a tidal wave of mass illegal criminal immigration into our country, allowing an unfettered alien army of tens of millions of military-aged single men to enter, live, organize, and proliferate into a very clear and present danger to our safety and even to our very existence as a nation. We have made abortions legal, and as a result, we now have millions of illegal migrants walking through our borders unfettered. We have refused to be a separate people, and as a result, our Savior and ourselves, we are in bed with the enemy. Look at what an article says about Vice President Kamala Harris. Get this, quote, while a deeply committed and faithful Christian, while a deeply committed and faithful Christian, Vice President Harris has great respect for other faith traditions. Her mother, Shyamala Gopalan, and relatives in India took her to Hindu temples. She joins her husband, Doug Imhoff, in Jewish traditions and celebrations, unquote. She's an Irish Brahma mix with a black Baptist background, was raised partly in Hindu temples, had a sexual relationship with a married man for over 10 years, they left that part out, then married an anti-Christian Jew, whose holy book says that Jesus is now in hell. Sounds like a deeply committed and faithful Christian to me. Do we want America to be a great nation once again? Then we must go back to the laws that our King gave us to keep. Do you think that having our enemy in our pulpits is a good idea? Do you think marrying them is a good idea? We want a king that no other nation has ever had, who will ever have. We want our righteous, uncorruptible, unbribable king back. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. May God have mercy on us. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.